We carried out an investigation over the last couple of weeks into some of these killings that took place in the month of April, when Uganda has been experiencing a number of protests over inflation and rising commodity prices. And we were able to determine through our research and investigations that in at least 9 instances that we were able to document, killings by security forces, meaning either police or military, took place in situations where the use of live ammunition, lethal force, was unnecessary. This is a historical problem in Uganda. We have documented these kinds of problems before, particularly in September 2009 when there were demonstrations against the government and over 40 people were killed in 2 days by the military using live ammunition to respond to protesters. And so our concern is that, first of all, obviously perpetrators should be held accountable, but frankly, the government has lost credibility and its commitment to investigate. Every time these kinds of episodes have occurred, the government has said, we'll investigate, we'll have inquiries, but we never see any follow-up that leads to prosecution.
How did you conduct your investigation into last month's demonstrations?
Well, we went to the areas in which killings took place. Obviously, in some instances, names and locations have been reported in the media. And we interviewed multiple eyewitnesses at the places where people actually lost their lives, not just about the individual killing, but what was going on in the area at the time, what kinds of demonstrations were occurring, what were other people doing in the area. We also went to the morgue and spoke to the pathologist there. In some instances, we were able to see the dead bodies ourselves, and we were able to interview family members of those who had been killed. We did also talk to the military and to some extent to the police about some of our concerns, particularly with the military and Gulu, who were heavily deployed in a situation which really did not warrant the use of live ammunition. We were concerned about getting the military's input as to why they felt the need to deploy, you know, infantry soldiers, something people in northern Uganda haven't seen since the days of the LRA.
Did you present your findings to the Ugandan government?
Well, it's a work in progress. It's obviously a very busy time for them here with ongoing demonstrations today and inauguration on Thursday. So it will be part of our work going forward. And we've shared the basic results of the findings, but I have not had the opportunity to sit down and actually go through each killing independently and separately with the head of the police. If he's interested, we'll obviously do that.
Now, Human Rights Watch is also calling on donors to end their support and training of Ugandan police and military units until the killings are investigated and the perpetrators are brought to justice. Have you gotten any response to that call, and do you know how much money the donors give to those agencies?
We haven't gotten a response to that yet. My sense is that historically, when we've talked to donors about this issue, they have felt that it's better to engage with the police and the military so that there is a relationship that can build leverage. And clearly, we understand that, and we have not condemned support to those units historically. The problem is that in this particular instance, the police have received a huge amount of support in the lead-up to the recent elections in February 2011, particularly in public order management and community-based policing. It was the focus of the international donors program to support the police to be able to manage exactly this kind of problem of demonstrations, which people anticipated would happen around elections. We didn't end up seeing a lot of demonstrating around elections, but, you know, shortly thereafter, now in April and in May, we're seeing problems, and so we expect the police to apply the knowledge that they've learned by being flown around the world, taken to Ireland, taken to the UK, by having experts from Scotland Yard and the Irish police here in Uganda. And unfortunately, we're seeing the use of live ammunition. We're seeing them not resort to non-lethal means. So I think it's important that the donors actually have some boundaries as to when their support will actually come to an end. So this isn't a permanent ban we're calling for, rather end it until you see accountability here.
Do you know how much money they give?
The Irish and British program, which was part of this preparing for elections, was about 2 million euros, so almost 3 million U.S. dollars. The United States does have advisors that work with the police, and they do trainings for the Ugandan military very frequently in a range of things, given that Uganda is a pretty primary partner of the United States in counterterrorism in East Africa. But this issue is really about military police, who are the main perpetrators of recent killings, military police and police.